from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. We have Kyle Madsen still on vacation. He was not able to fly back in England in time from England in time for the show.
Not a company man, I'd say.
Not a company man. No, miss a watch party. We had an incredible watch party at Tom's Watch Bar last night.
Yeah, that was fun stuff.
It was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. Shout out to everybody who made it out to the watch party. You showed up better than the Purdue Boilermakers.
Give them some credit. They did show up in the first half. Second half, they were kind of like, but...
I was sitting there watching it. I'm like, is the only thing you can do is throw the ball to Zach Edey?
Well, you were right if that's what you were thinking, because that's literally the only thing. Dump it down to Edey in the paint or whatever. If it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, hey, maybe we'll next time.
Yeah, and if he gets fouled, maybe he'll make one of two. It's just like a disaster. Like, the whole thing was, like, you relied so heavily on the guy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird now that, like, we're talking about it after. It's kind of like, as a fan watches, oh, yeah, Zach Edey, let's get into it or whatever. National championship, keep feeding the ball. And then the next day, it's like, wait, why didn't you guys use anyone else?
You know what? I felt bad, too, because I thought Edey just completely got exposed. Like, there were so many moments in the game where if you're a pro scout, you just went, nope. Like, sorry, man.
What do you think his NBA career turns out to be?
I don't think he'll have one.
At all. Like, can't even have a Boban Marjanovic, however you say, like, Marjanovic. Boban can't have that kind of career.
A Boban career? I don't know. Okay, so the reason why Boban sticks around the league is because everybody loves him. Like, it's not because...
It's true. Boban was in John Wick 3, I think.
Yes, he was in John Wick 3, and, you know, he did grab John Wick by the head. I mean, that's...
What a crazy scene.
That's part of why Boban is in the league, because of John Wick. No, I mean, realistically, like, Boban is a very effective player. It's just the fact that he can't keep up with the pace of the modern NBA. And the problem is that Edey has... He's 7'4" with a 7'10" wingspan. I mean... Just to put that in perspective, it's a big wingspan. It's not Victor Wembanyama, but like DeMarcus Cousins had the second highest longest wingspan in his draft in 2010 at 7'8", and Hassan Whiteside had a 7'9" wingspan, and the Kings drafted both of them. Anyway, the problem that you have though is that like UConn dragged him out to the perimeter, and he's like barbecue chicken.
Yeah, but they do that to Rudy Gobert in the playoffs, and like we give that guy Defensive Player of the Years.
Yeah, but that's different because that guy is a super athlete. He's very mobile through the hips. And then the other problem was you get him in the pick and roll, and he's dropping in the pick and roll and was not a factor at all. They either flip the ball up over the top of him or you got a floater in the lane by the guard. And to me, it was just like, oh, man.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about Edie. I think he'll stick around like as a backup. Then maybe the backup to the backup or whatever. I think he can stick around 5-6 years, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm not saying he's going to be like a star or anything like that. He'll, like I said, end of the bench guy. But I think he'll maybe find a spot for himself, at least for a few years.
I hope so. I mean, I think he'll play a lot in the G League, and then they'll give it a shot. You know, clearly he'll probably get either a rookie minimum deal to start. I mean, most mock drafts have him projected in...
Well, I've seen two. He's been kind of late first, early second, right? So yeah. I figured people do think he can. He'll get some years in the league, I think.
Maybe. I just know that watching a game where a guy scores like 33 points or whatever it was that he finished with and grabs like 8 or 10 rebounds, I was just so unimpressed. I mean, he's got soft hands around the rim. That's fine. But again, Boban can do all of that. Like, really, he can.
Give the guy a chance, James.
We'll see. I feel bad because, you know, he's a college player that was, you know, fighting his way through. And, you know, he seems like he's a good kid. And he led his team all the way to the finals. But at the end of the day, like...
Manny throws it in here, too. Like, he was literally just doing everything by himself yesterday. Maybe let's get the guy some help. Not saying, like, he'd, like, make him the focal point. But just more so where he doesn't get exposed like that or whatever.
Yeah. No, it's possible he looks a little different with real talent around him. I just still, 37 and 10, 15 and 25 from the field, but they were just super one-dimensional. Outside of that, it was kind of a quiet sports day. Shout out to Lindsay Harding, who, according to Woj, is getting, she's set to interview with the Charlotte Hornets for their head coaching job. This job is getting a little interesting for me. Jesse, they like Jordy Fernandez. They've already sought like permission to speak to Jordy, and I think the Kings gave permission. They also they hired a president of basketball operations, which is Jeff Peterson. And Jeff Peterson was with the Brooklyn Nets. He was the assistant GM with the Brooklyn Nets, but long before that, he was hired into the NBA by Wes Wilcox. And so there are ties there, and there were murmurs early on as soon as he took the job that Wes Wilcox might be in line for a general manager job there. So I think there's a lot of interesting Kings ties, and it kind of lends me to the question, like, are the Kings doing things right? Because it sort of seemed like when you do things right, other teams trying to emulate and try to steal from you.
I'd be kind of offended if teams weren't trying to take coaches off my bench.
Yeah.
They're like, you go ahead and stick with those. Stick with those guys, Kings. Like, yeah, like, I feel like you see the best teams, like, their assistant coaches get poached all the time and stuff like that. Assistant GMs go take better jobs and all. They take GM jobs and stuff. So I think, yeah, you can only be encouraged by stuff like that.
I did notice something interesting about the Kings bench.
What is that?
So you got Mike Brown, who has no hair. You have Jay Triano, who has no hair. You have Doug Christie, who has no hair. And you have Jordy Fernandez, who has no hair. That is your front line bench.
All I'm hearing is that Kyle Mattson's in place to take Jordy's spot if he leaves.
There you go. And then the second line bench is Luke Laux and a bunch of guys that all have hair.
Bunch of hair havers.
I you know, like, you're looking up front, and I think some of these guys are like, do I have to shave my head to get to the front?
Maybe you ask him at the next press conference. Are you gonna ask him questions tonight since they're in OKC?
No.
All right. So when they're in Sacramento next press conference. Mike, what's the deal? It's only balds in the front. Why, like, can we get some hair havers in the front? What's going on here? What's the deal?
It feels a little odd, doesn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, ridiculous. Okay, so I had this horrible situation this morning. I told Jesse I was going to tell a story.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I don't know what you're going to tell me right now.
Okay, so I have a 16-year-old, right? I have a 20-year-old and I have a 16-year-old. My 20-year-old is almost 21, but my 16-year-old... I think for Christmas, I was able to abscond with a nice insider's hoodie, right? So he never wears it because he only literally wears like the same exact clothes to school every day.
I can relate.
He washes them and then wears them again the next day, like all the time.
Guy likes what he likes.
He does. He likes what he likes. It's very, very specific. Anyway, this morning I got up and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna wear shorts. We had a long night last night. We're out at Tom's Watch Bar. I'm going to wear shorts. I'm going to wear a sweatshirt. I'm wearing a baseball hat today. So I look, and there's the black hoodie sitting there. So I go grab the black hoodie, throw it up, put my arms in, thinking, this is a little snug. But it just got washed. So I'm like, okay, pulled the thing over the top of my head and got it to like right here and realized, Jesse, this was not my sweatshirt. This was my 16-year-old sweatshirt, and he's not nearly as big as I am. And so I had got him a medium and had just gone through the wash and shrunk a little bit.
Had James out there in a crop top or what? With an insider's hoodie?
I'm standing there with a crop top, insider hoodie, and I'm stuck. But I've talked about this on the show. I have a shoulder impingement. I can't raise my right arm
up
at all.
Oh, yeah, this is like trying to get the shoulder pads off.
I can't throw a ball. I can't reach behind me like to run my belt through the belt loops. No, I can't do any of that with my right arm, which is my dominant hand. So I'm stuck, like literally with my hands halfway up. Like, I'm wedged in.
I would have yelled, somebody get the scissors. James needs scissors.
I look at my wife, and she's busy, and I'm like, I'm stuck. I go into our game room, and one of my son's buddies had stayed the night, and he just starts laughing. I'm like, Brandon, I need help. He's just standing there laughing. And I'm like, so this 20-year-old kid, 21-year-old kid is literally like wedging and trying to rip a sweatshirt off the top of me. And I'm sitting there like, oh.
See, and if I'm that kid, I'm just wondering like, God, I hope I don't take James's shoulder out of place right now or anything like that.
Oh, it fully got, it hit the nerve and I'm like, got dead arm. And he's like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm really not, but it's okay. Thanks for getting this sweatshirt off my head. But yeah, that was my morning, Jesse.
That never happens here. We're cutting the sweater off, bro.
We're just cutting it off.
Yeah, we're cutting it off.
You're not going to help a brother out?
I'm telling you. It's like the football player trying to take the shoulder pads off. I can't help you with that. We're just going to cut the jersey off.
I'm stuck. I'm like, oh. Ridiculous, ridiculous morning. The A's and Giants. Let's see. As of last night, the A's had the night off. The Giants got trounced 8-1. I hate to tell Giants fans, but there's no difference between the A's and the Giants in the standings at this point.
That's a tough one.
It's not good. It's not good. So that's
still early, though. I know a lot of fans were excited coming into the season. They had Blake Snell and stuff like that. We'll see if they pick it up. But playing in that division is just makes you sad.
You know, I was watching a bit of the game while we were at the watch party, and like watching Matt Chapman play third base is just spectacular.
Yeah,
I mean, him at bat is not great, but him playing third base is just like a joy to watch. I'm glad Giants get to experience that. He's tremendous at third.
Yeah, one of the guys probably they should have kept, but there's a long list of that.
Yeah, it's like 150.
You throw that up there like the Browns QB jersey, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of players that they should have kept, but he's right at the top of the list. The NBA had the night off last night.
Can I say something? I hate that. I get it. I need at least one game, two games or something. I get like we're trying to give the national championship like its own shine, but we got a show to prepare for the next day, pals.
You don't like the night off?
Not like there's just nothing. Nah, give me like at least a couple NBA games or something. Because the game was a blowout at that point. Like, what am I supposed to watch after that?
No,
in the second half.
Very true.
Like, give me something, like, at least one. I get it. I get what they're doing. Just give me one game.
Okay.
It could be Blazers versus Hornets.
Okay.
Just something.
Something.
Just
to
something.
Watch. Give me some. Okay. So I'm okay with it. The only thing I don't like is that because you give them a day off on Monday, now the Kings have like a Thursday, Friday back to back.
Oh, yeah.
Home.
Kings are fighting for their playoff lives. Fellas, sorry. UConn, Purdue got to play on Monday.
Got to play on Monday. So we can't move that, move the games around, extend out a little bit, add an extra day here. Yeah, just kind of weird. Yeah, but I guess that's the way it goes. All right, so we got a packed show today. We're super excited about today. First and foremost, we're going to break down the Kings-Oklahoma City Thunder matchup that is, I think, is it 5 o'clock tonight?
Yeah, I believe so, 5 o'clock.
So that's going to be a huge game. The Kings have a little bit of an injury concern out of nowhere on top of their other injury concerns. We also, in the second hour, we're going to have Kings legend Jerry Reynolds drop by here in studio and hang out with us. Super excited to see Jerry, and it'll be a good show. So you're listening to The Insiders on ESPN 1320. I'm James. He's Jesse. We'll see you in just a few.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jesse Tapia. We had a lot to talk about. Sacramento Kings take on the Oklahoma City Thunder at Paycom Center tonight. We got a 5 o'clock tip-off. This is a big one, Jesse.
That's literally another way to put it. You got to win these games at this point.
The whole ball of wax. This is a huge, huge game for the Sacramento Kings. They have a 2-1 season series advantage over the Thunder. This would give them the season series, which would be really weird because that would mean that the Kings own the season series over the Denver Nuggets, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Oklahoma City Thunder, the top three teams in the Western Conference. Of course, they're 0-4 against the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I guess. 0-4,
yeah.
Sure, Kings, fine. Play against all the top teams, but just what happened here?
Yeah, just really, really strange to see what's happening here with the Sacramento Kings. They have 4 games remaining in the season, and it means everything for them at this point. Every win is imperative at this point. They realistically, if they go 4-0, they got a shot to move all the way up to the 6th seed in the Western Conference standings. If they go anything less than that, we're talking 7-8. I don't think they'll slide back into the 9th spot. I think that they've got enough of an advantage over the Los Angeles Lakers. Basically, they own the season series against the Lakers, and they have a 1-game advantage. The Lakers only have 3 games left. The Kings have 4. So kind of interesting to see how this is all going to play out here, Jesse. But this is about as big as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's against one of the top teams in the West. I mean, OKC, they've already clinched playoffs, but they're still playing for the top seed in the Western Conference right now. So they're going to get their A game, and I mean, hopefully we get the Kings' A game.
Yeah. So the Oklahoma City Thunder, they haven't been playing extremely well. They lost at Philadelphia, at Boston, at Indiana before picking up a win against the lowly Charlotte Hornets.
I believe they were without Shea for a couple games there, too.
Yeah. And tonight, they're going to be mostly at full strength. It looks like Shea is not on the injury report for tonight. Jalen Williams is on the injury report as questionable, so that could be a little bit of a problem for them. He's done really well against the Kings, especially in the last time these two teams played. Gordon Hayward is also out tonight.
That move, real quick, that just has not worked out for the Thunder. That has not worked out for Gordon Hayward, I'll say. Thunder fine without him, but you figure that was one where they kind of like coming off the bench, they give him a little bit of oomph, but it's not been working out.
Yeah, you know, I think Gordon Hayward is close to done.
I think so too.
You know, the injuries have stacked up. He's been a dude who, you know, can't stay healthy throughout his career, but specifically over the last couple of years. And even when he starts rolling, it doesn't last all that long before he's got to go sit out a couple more games. The Thunder are 53-25. They're just a game behind both the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, who are tied at the top of the Western Conference. Really wild to see a young team like this take a leap like this. What's impressed you the most about the leap they've taken this year?
The fact that they've kind of maintained it, I think. Because it happened early on. Like they didn't just catch fire like in January or whatever. They've been kind of steady and consistent all season long. And I think the talk about them early on in the season was like, yeah, they're hot now, but maybe they'll fall off a bit and other teams will kind of they'll come back down to the surface. And they've kind of maintained. So I think that's kind of what's impressed me so far, especially with them being a young team. They don't really have like vets or anything like that to like take them across or anything like that. So for a young team to do it and be as consistent as they are, that's pretty impressive to me.
I would add that you mentioned they brought in Gordon Hayward to like help out, right?
Yeah, brought him in during the trade deadline around there.
To be one of those vets. But outside of that, almost every single one of their players is homegrown.
Well, yeah, because Mark Daigneault too, like he's not this old coach who's been around the league as well.
Yeah. No, this is a team that like they are seventh since the All-Star break. They're seventh in offensive rating at 116.3. Defensive rating, They're way up there as well. They're at 112.4 is their defensive rating. They're plus 3.9 net rating. This is a really high quality team. It's a team that, like, I think the biggest thing I'll say about Mark Daigneault is that he developed a culture there, and it's sort of like the Sam Presti culture, right? But they've developed a culture where you're going to play hard for 48 minutes. Like, there is no giving in. It's a little bit like what Taylor Jenkins built with Memphis, where you can be up six on them with 45 seconds left, and you have to play out that entire 45 seconds.
Yeah, you got guys like Chet Holmgren. I can't remember what podcast he was on. I seen the clip this morning, but he's talking about, yeah, if you want to come to, like, if you're not thinking about winning championships and stuff like that, like, you can't come play here at all. So it's like they have their standards set already.
That's interesting because, I mean, technically he's a rookie. He did get drafted 2 years ago and missed all of last season. He missed his rookie season with a foot injury. I like this matchup, though, the Chet Holmgren versus Domantas Sabonis matchup. I think it's one that right now Sabonis he has a huge advantage over him just because of the sheer like weight differential and strength differential between him and Chet. But you can see where maybe 3 years down the line, this is going to be just crazy. Like, Chet Holmgren is very, very talented.
Yeah, you see it already. You see the talent and all that, the potential. Not even potential. He's already really good and stuff like that. But you just see, like, the heights he can ascend to.
Yeah, he was the guy that I had kind of circled that I really was hoping would fall to the Kings in the 2022 draft when they were selecting fourth.
What if they ended up getting the second? Because Chet went second, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, so what if they get the second pick? And Chet's playing next to Sabonis at that point, right?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
I think it would be brilliant because I think Chet is a much better shooter than he's allowed to be right now. And so you could have him, you know, shooting the corner three. He's also a solid rebounder. He's a solid passer. So when Sabonis stepped off the court, you can run the offense through him. On top of that, he's an excellent shot blocker. And that's kind of, you know, it's what the Kings have to start looking for. They have to look for that shot blocker to put alongside Sabonis. And whether it's a three or a four that has that ability, I think it's imperative that that's a type of player. It's just hard because, you know, guys like this with this type of talent, I mean, they go number two overall.
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. You're not really going to have much of a chance at getting them unless you're just really bad.
Yeah, what is your matchup of the game?
Matchup of the game, I'm going to go Keon Ellis versus whatever guard he's guarding. I need Keon Ellis to kind of set the tone, whether it's Shea or whoever else. Like Keon Ellis, I need him to set the tone defensively because I don't think the Kings are going to be putting up much points today.
Oh, Okay.
I'm not saying like they're going to be like winning games, score 90 points or whatever, but I think we're kind of just past them scoring 130 a night and all that. Like, I need the defense, so I'm going to look to Keon Ellis at the time.
Okay. No, I do think that that's it's a good matchup. Like, I think Keon Ellis gives them a different look. And so my matchup of the game, I put everyone versus Shai, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is incredible. He's had an MVP caliber season. I don't know if he will win the MVP, but he's got to be in the running. He, you know, every time I do the straw poll with Tim Bontemps at ESPN, I usually have him at number two or number three. I think the latest one, I do have Jokic number one and him number two. And I think that's fair. I think Shai needs maybe one more year to prove it. He has taken sort of a meteoric rise here. But I think the Kings have a uniquely, like, if I were looking at the Kings early in the season versus who they are now, I think they're better prepared for Shai than they were before, because I think you can throw Davion on him for stretches. I know he's got, like, a major height advantage over Davion, but I also, Davion's tough. He's not going to let you just go right to the basket. You can throw De'Aaron Fox on him and say, okay, well, what do you got? You can throw Keon Ellis, and now you got the Colby Jones situation. And then, hey, look, if none of that works and Keegan Murray is able to go, Keegan Murray tonight is questionable with calf soreness.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when I got some thoughts.
Yeah, if Keegan Murray is able to go, though, I expect to see him on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander quite a bit. I mean, this is kind of what the Kings are doing. They're building a team where you can throw different looks even at a star-level player. I'd even, you know, if Kessler Edwards wants to come in and play some solid minutes against a guy like this where you're just playing defense, okay.
But yeah, there's different matchups for Shai to see, too. Like, maybe you're getting with a quicker guy like Davion or whatever, and then you got a lengthier guy you got to shoot on with Keegan Murray later on. Like, it's just, like you said, giving them different looks.
Yeah. Okay, so projected starters for the Oklahoma City Thunder, we've got Josh Giddey. We got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We've got Jalen Williams. They have two Jalen Williams. This is the scoring Jalen Williams, not the big man Jalen Williams. Lu Dort, who I absolutely love as a player, and Chet Holmgren. Who do you fear for like a defensive matchup against the Kings? Who do you think is going to stop De'Aaron Fox?
I mean, I don't think anyone, like, only De'Aaron Fox can stop De'Aaron Fox, I feel like. I don't think, like, any of these guys are going to lock him up and stuff like that. Like, I think, like, the conversation with him and his poor shooting since March has been, like, his legs. I think the only thing that's going to limit De'Aaron Fox is himself today. Like, okay. You see him go up against Boston and stuff like that. Going up against guys like Jrue Holiday, like, put up 41. Like, he's going to go out and get his. I don't think there's anyone really on OKC that's going to really limit him other than, like, Fox himself.
Okay. That's an interesting take.
Yeah. I guess the point with that is, like, just Fox is just a good enough star where he can just get his no matter what.
Yeah, and I mean, like, look, Oklahoma City is built kind of an interesting way as well. They can throw Jalen Williams on him. They can throw Shai on him. I don't think Josh Giddey just will roast Josh Giddey.
Yeah, you can't stay in front of Fox.
No. Although Josh Giddey's played a lot better lately. I don't know. Like, I've been impressed with his development in, what, year three? He has taken some reasonable steps, especially lately. Okay, you know what? Let's step aside. When we come back, we're going to discuss more, including our keys to victory for this Sacramento Kings versus Oklahoma City Thunder game. I am James. He is Jesse. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320. Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James. Jesse Tapia joining me today, filling in for Kyle Madsen, who is away, hanging out in England, having a good time, I assume. Jesse, the injury report dropped yesterday afternoon.
It's scary, James.
It's not great. Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, of course, are out. Kevin Huerter's out for the season. Malik Monk is out for the foreseeable future. We have no idea. He was supposed to be reevaluated in 4 weeks. We're about a week and a half into that, I believe. And then Keegan Murray pops up, questionable with left calf soreness.
I'll just say right now, Kings have no chance of winning this game if he's not playing. Like, there's too many injuries to overcome at that point.
Yeah, I'm kind of
a team like this.
I'm kind of with you. Yeah, this is one of those injuries that pops up and you're like, oh no. Plus, calf injuries are, they're like super scary.
Well,
right?
Yeah, because like I mean, we've seen the worst of it with like Kevin Durant. You had a calf strain or whatever, comes back, and it's just like, but you don't mess with calves.
No, no.
You don't come back till the calf tells you to come back.
Exactly. And, you know, that's, again, if you look at what happened early in the season, a calf strain cost, which I'm not saying that's what Keegan Murray had, but a calf strain cost Trey Lyles first 13 games of the season. And that happened right before the last preseason game. All of a sudden, like, oh, no, what's that?
Point is, you don't mess with the calves.
No, you don't mess with the calves. So basically, the calf muscle, for those people out there that would like to know this type of stuff, the calf muscle is the only thing that supports the Achilles tendon. And if the calf muscle is weakened, you can potentially cause damage to the Achilles, which there's really not a lot of things you can do to an Achilles outside of rupture it or tear it. And that's not something you want, because then that's a year. I'm not saying that that's the situation with Keegan. It's a sore left calf. So questionable. That means he's 50-50 to play. For the Oklahoma City Thunder, Jalen Williams is questionable with the left ankle sprain, and Gordon Hayward is out. Outside of that, I think everyone else there is ready to roll. Both of these teams had players away for the G League, especially with the playoffs going on. I don't know if the Kings called all these guys back. You know, if Jordan Ford and Jones and Jalen Slauson all join them on the road, or if they're just waiting in Sacramento for the Kings to come back. But with the G League season over, the Kings will at least have some more bodies on board. Maybe they flew one or two of those guys out just because of the Keegan injury, just to give them a little more depth.
Yeah, it's a tough time, honestly, to be getting hit by injuries right now at this point. With the race that they're in, it's all hands on deck at this point.
Yeah, and Jesse, that's why you don't mess around, you know?
Yeah, you win the games you're supposed to.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you mess around during the season and then you get deep into the season and something bad happens, which is exactly what's happened to the Kings at this point, it just puts you in a precarious situation. You needed to build a couple of game buffer, and the Kings didn't do it, and now they're sort of faced with that situation. Let's get to our keys to victory. We'll start with yours, man. What's your first key to victory, Jesse?
All right, my first key to victory, I need some from De'Aaron Fox tonight. Not in like a way where it's like he hasn't shown up, but more so it's OKC tonight. Top team in the league. Like, I'm going to need my star to take us home today. Like, I don't know if it's his legs or whatever, but I need a big game from Fox tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen Fox try to fight through some of this, right? And I think that he's been, like, really solid when he can. Like, just go back to the Boston game you talked about where he drops 40, right? He played 44 minutes on the second night of a back-to-back. Like, that's where we're at in this season. Like, the second he steps off the court, like, the team isn't as good, especially with no Malik Monk. And I think that's where you miss Monk the most. It's the De'Aaron Fox and non-De'Aaron Fox minutes. And those guys played a lot together, but the fact that you don't have that second guy who's attacking like Fox does, who doesn't get to the key and get the spray three and all that stuff, it's a huge deal for the Kings. And so I'm with you on this. Like, De'Aaron Fox has to be spectacular today.
I mean, we're at a point, like, Malik Monk isn't going to be here to save the day. Kevin Herter's not going to maybe get hot from three today or anything like that. Like, there's just no bodies at this point, so you're going to need your star to take you home.
Yeah. Okay, so my first key to victory is let Sabonis go to work against Chet. Just keep feeding him, man. Look out for Lu Dort coming in for the swipe down and stuff like that, but man, Domas has an ability to treat Chet like a ragdoll.
Well, yeah, Chet is just not big. He's just not size enough to deal with Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, he's not strong. He doesn't have the weight yet.
Yeah, he doesn't have the strength.
I don't know if there's ever going to come a moment where Chet weighs 200 pounds. I mean, they may say he weighs, I don't think he weighs 200, but he's certainly not going to get up to like 230. And if he did, couldn't you imagine if Chet weighed like 230? It would be like long, skinny arms, long, skinny legs, like skinny neck, and then like a pot belly.
Yeah, you'd imagine so.
Yeah, that's kind of how you would envision Chet Holmgren, as like a guy who bulks up and gains a bunch of weight. I think it'd just be awkward. You're like, okay, that guy doesn't look right. He doesn't look like an NBA player.
I'm going to hit a little bit of a theme with our keys to victory right here. I need Harrison Barnes has got to step up right here. Like, we need you, HB. I get it, but we need you to step up. The Kings are, like I said, black bodies and all that. We can't afford these 0-2, 1-4 games or whatever. He has to step up, and I think for the Kings to have the best chance of winning, like, he has to play well today.
Yeah, I mean, especially if there's a way that Keegan Murray doesn't play. Like, this is your third score. Like Harrison Barnes, throughout his career, has been a second or third scorer, especially all of his time in Sacramento. Like, this is a moment where, hey, man, this whole 0 points, 6 points, 10 points, like 4 points thing.
Yeah, if Keegan's not playing, I need at least 15, and I'll call it 18 shots from HB. Like, you need at least that.
Yeah, you need 20 points plus.
Yes.
Yeah, you need him to get right back to where he was right before he went on this little four-game hiatus. I think that that's a tremendous key. And not only that, but I think he needs that. Like, the Kings fans, he sees it. Like, the rumblings again, people, like, going, turning on Harrison Barnes.
What's what the team counts on you for, too?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure as the vet, I mean, you go anywhere else in the league, like, as the vet or whatever that's been around, like, the team counts on you. Just can be that consistent presence there.
Yep. My second key to victory, don't foul Shea. I don't care how many times he throws his head back. I don't want, just don't foul him. Like, and I know the Kings have had trouble with this in the past, like fouling guys that are like what Kyle likes to call foul grifters. And Shea is one of the best in the league. He's a big time foul grifter. He keeps his dribble longer than almost anyone. And he just keeps coming at you in different ways and then throwing his head back and trying to get calls.
Went to the James Harden school of drawing fouls.
Yes, exactly. He probably should grow the big beard, so then that way, you know, like the beard shakes and everything.
Oh,
like,
beard shakes. That just adds to it.
Yeah, you see me get fouled? My beard shook. So I'm kind of, if the Kings can defend Shea without fouling, he's still going to go for 30. And, you know, we have this weird thing where he scores like 31 points like almost every single night the whole season. It's like over 30 times, isn't it, that he scored 31 points exactly? Totally bizarre. But that's my second key to victory. What's your third?
My third key, I'm going to generalize this one a little bit from what I have on the paper, but I need Mike Brown's Kings to show up today. Meaning, you're going to win this game through your defense. Like I said, Fox needs to step up and all that, play the way he does. I need HB to put some points up, but I think ultimately, if you're going to win this game, it's going to be through your defense again. I don't think you're going to put up 125 today or anything like that. You're not going to go toe-to-toe with Oklahoma City Thunder. You have to play defense today and win that way, I think.
You think this is going to be like a bare-knuckle, like...
I think the Kings need to make it into that.
Like 92-87 game?
I won't say that. I think modern-day version of that will go 102-97.
Okay,
something like that.
Okay.
Kings gotta make it physical a bit. Okay. I know it's not their MO or anything like that, but play defense. Like, you need a defensive game here.
Yeah, and I also think, just to add to this, this is that moment where, like, look, Oklahoma City just skipped like three steps. They went from like a good, talented team that wasn't a threat to the number three seed in the playoffs. It's what they did, what the Kings did last year, right? And the big difference that I see is that most of their players aren't in the 25, 26, 27-year-old, like, grown man range.
Yeah, no, these are all guys still getting into the league and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're a bunch of young guys. So this late in the season, I think you can get physical. I think you can play playoff basketball against them. And
I mean, that was a conversation last year about the Kings, right? Like, the Kings have not been in this situation before. Like, make it physical for them and stuff like that.
Yeah, you need to get physical. You need to hit somebody. You need to make them feel you the entire game. We hear that all the time, but... that's like how you win this game right here, is you have to like punish them and be physical and again, feed Domantas Sabonis again and again and again, let him go to work against this front line. And then Fox needs to use his speed and quickness. And so I think that's going to be the tough thing for this team. Like, how do you, it's not about matching physicality. You have to be the more physical team in this game.
Hey, Sean, you just have to enforce it at some point.
Yeah. My last key is contain Jalen Williams. Jalen Williams really tore up the Kings last time they played. Now, again, I don't know if Jalen is going to play or not. He's got a sprained ankle. But if he does, he's a guy that the Kings, he's that 6'8", long, super athletic scorer that the Kings struggle with. And so the Kings are going to have to figure out how to do it, how to slow him down, especially slow him down while slowing Shea down, because you can't let both of them. Last time, they both went off for 30-plus, and
well,
you can't have that again.
Kind of like, if King can't play, he can't play, but that's where you need him. You're just not going to get through this game without Keegan Murray today.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, I think this is a game. And if you do, somehow you do, it's... like Harrison Barnes playing out of his mind, Domantas Sabonis playing out of his mind, De'Aaron Fox playing out of his mind. And look, the Kings have a whole lot more on the line than OKC does. They're going to have a tough time, even though it's a one-game advantage, jumping over, you know, these teams here. And I think right now they're also in a position where they can kind of line up who is it that you want to play. Do you want to play a six seed? Do you want to play the Dallas Mavericks? Do you want to play? Do you want to play a seven? You know, are you okay playing a Pelican squad or a Phoenix Sun squad? Like, which team do you match up well against? Because they're in a position where, you know, they can kind of control their own destiny, like as far as like either jumping up, trying to jump up and be the number one, or do the 2-3, the two seed or the three seed in the Western Conference.
I'll say too, a game like tonight, like, because they're at home the next three matchups after this, right?
The Kings?
Yeah. So a game like tonight, like, you don't want to go home, like, where it's just kind of like, all right, we got to win these games coming off a loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, we talk about vibes on D'Lo KC and all that stuff. Like, you need to win games like this just so, I don't want to say you're pumped up because they're NBA players, but more so just so, like, it's just, how do you say it? Just a better mindset going into these games rather than we lost to OKC. Now we got to see the Suns and the Pelicans. It's tough. You just need some confidence going into this last three-game stretch.
No,
all the confidence you can get, you need it.
I agree. And Jesse, I'd add too, you know, the Kings have been a solid road team all season, right? They're not quite as good as they were last year, but they're very close. Right now on the road, they have a 22-18 record. This is their final home game. I mean, their final road game of the season. And you had this four-game road trip right at the end here that looked really, really daunting. And right now they're 1-2 on that trip. I feel like you need a 2-2 trip to like build some confidence and to come back strong.
Well, yeah, going 2-2 against teams like the Thunder. I mean, you lost to the Celtics and Knicks or whatever. Which the fact that you played tough teams this trip, and the fact that you come away from it 2-2, like, yes, that should give you some confidence, I think.
All right, yeah, it should be an interesting night tonight at the Paycom Center in Oklahoma City. Kings, 5 p.m. start against the Thunder. I think everyone in Sacramento is going to be tuning in to see how this thing finishes with just four games left on the Sacramento Kings schedule and with them sitting currently in the eighth spot in the Western Conference standings. All right, Jesse, if you're going to predict this game, what do you think? Where are we going?
Can I pass, James?
Still?
I think OKC's winning tonight. What hurts me, what kills me with the Kings is the fact that there's too many injuries right now. HB's on a milk carton. Like, you don't know if he's going to show up tonight. Keegan's dealing with a sore calf. It's just there's a lot going against them. I could see them winning, and there's aspects we lined out or whatever that they need to hit. Like, do this, and you probably have a good chance. But it's just there's too much working against this team right now. I almost feel like they're kind of hanging on by a thread in a way.
It's interesting because I do see the same thing, that you kind of feel like they're hanging on by a thread and you're not sure if they're going to be able to, you know, figure this thing out. And then you're hoping that somehow they survive the final couple of games here. And then what happens?
Well, the toughest part about it, too, is that I think this team was finally starting to find their identity, too. Like,
okay.
We're starting to play well defensively and all that. And it's just, like, oh, Malik's out for the season now, and it's just now you're just dealing with injuries at this point.
Yeah,
like we can say for the whole season there was just no flow at all to this.
It does feel like the lack of flow, even like within the offense. You never just felt like for a full 48 minutes that they were just flowing and they were so good.
You could probably count on your hands how many times the Kings probably played a complete game this season.
No,
even in wins.
I think you're right. I mean, if even we go back to last year, you remember they had the 176-175 win over the Clippers. And it was one of the greatest offensive games that I think we've ever seen. And it wasn't just like one guy getting on a heater. It was like everyone firing away. I think that's the game where both Fox and Monk both went over 40. And, you know, you're just watching this game of free-flowing, wild, sort of unabashed, no defense or limited defense, but just one of the most beautiful basketball games and wildly entertaining games that you've ever seen. And we just haven't had, I don't know if we haven't had like a signature win, or if we haven't had a signature stretch of wins where you start to build some confidence that this is who they are.
It was always, it's just been stop, start with this team.
Yeah, that's what it feels like fits and stops. Yeah, it's like the whole time you're like, oh, when are they going to actually, like, show us who they are.
I mean, there are things, though. It's not all doom and gloom and stuff like that. Like, I think Keon Ellis, like, you might have something there with him being your starting two. Like, there are, maybe it's a little bit clear going into, like, next season, what you need and stuff like that. Like, it's not more so, there's only four guys showing up for us right now. Like, we might be in trouble.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to that. If you were to put, what is your biggest positive from this season?
I mean, biggest positive, I guess, like, throwing Sabonis right there. Dude's been a monster all season. He's just kind of like, Sabonis has gotten better every year he's been here, and I feel like this year, like, he's just way better than what he was last year. But I mean, narrowing it down to something smaller, like, I like Keon Ellis playing the two all season long. We were searching, like, Kevin's just not doing it right now. Chris Duarte's not doing it right now. It's just not working. You're throwing a guy like Keon Ellis. Now the Kings are playing defense. So I think that was probably one of the biggest positives for me this season. Just the fact that he got, like, the Kings are playing defense now.
Yeah, I do think, like, that's such a good point. I think the Mike Brown staying the course, and, like, he's been saying this since training camp. Like, look, we're going to take some steps back, and people are going to get frustrated. But the fact is that if we're going to make the playoffs, we have to have this type of identity. This is who we've got to be. And if we don't develop that identity now, then we're not going to get there.
Yeah, because you look at the Kings, like, I'm more encouraged, like, with the season they have. Like, if they find an identity, if we're just going through, like, just the, like, just like I said, the stop and starts, where just, like, this team just doesn't have, like, a flow or anything to it. Like, that just, that gives you so many more questions going into, like, next season and stuff like that. But the fact that it's kind of like, no, now they're playing like a Mike Brown team, I think that's encouraging.
No, I agree. Yeah, like, it is a little bit more of a, and then I think also one of the other keys, I think, is that you can see the path forward. Like,
yeah, yeah.
What they need and everything else. Hey, look at this. We have the Jerry Reynolds. The Jerry Reynolds is popping in to see us. Jesse, do I need to turn on his mic over here?
I got it.
You got it. We're going to enter stage. There is the Jerry Reynolds.
All right.
Jerry Bear, what's going on?
Not much, buddy.
I got you a little water over there.
I see, and popcorn.
I got you. I know you love your popcorn, although it's skinny pop, so.
That's okay.
It's a little healthy. It's a little healthy.
Yeah, okay. That's good. That is very good.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Well, everything, you know, for being 8 decades old, it's going as good as it's going to get. I mean, that's all I got to say.
That's so, all you
got
to say?
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, it, you know, there's no, you know, no happy ending.
It all goes the same way, doesn't it, for everybody?
Yeah, everybody's got the same rules intact. So,
that's right.
You know, I've already kind of beat the system, so to speak. So
that's right. That's
got
right.
No complaints.
Since the last time you came in, you did. You turned 80.
Turned 80. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel any different?
Not really. I've been feeling like old for about 10 years now. So
I have too, Jerry.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the time you hit 70, you kind of get the picture that you're, you know, your glory days are over. I mean, I'm not going to get out there and, you know, shoot any hoops or anything like that.
Okay, so 70's not the new 40.
No. It might be the new 50. It might be.
Okay.
It might be.
Yeah. I was telling Jesse earlier how we started the show. I got one of these cool sweatshirts for my son, but he's a size medium, mm-hmm. and his sweatshirt was sitting there. My sweatshirt was sitting there. I didn't notice. I didn't look at the tags. So I threw his sweatshirt on, and then I got stuck.
Oh,
and I have a shoulder impingement right now, so I can't do anything with my right shoulder, and I'm stuck in this sweatshirt, and I had to have one of my other sons, his buddy was there, and I had him, like, literally had to pull the sweatshirt off me, and I'm it's just embarrassing, man.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, like I say, one of the real challenges to me in the morning is just to tie my shoes, you know.
Slip-ons, Jerry.
Yeah,
that's why slip-ons are beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, boy, little things become very important at some point.
It's funny, when you're a kid, you can't figure out how to tie your shoes. And then when you get old, you don't want to tie them.
You don't want to tie them.
You just want to slip into something.
No.
We got a big game tonight. Oklahoma City Thunder playing the Sacramento Kings.
Huge game, yeah.
Yeah, where are you at with this? This has been just a wild up and down, just crazy frenetic season.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, I mean the record doesn't surprise me so much as how they got there. You know, I mean, they've you know, basically this team has a winning record against the top three teams in the West. But then they've lost games at home, especially. I think every team loses games on the road to bad teams. You know, the Celtics have, the Nuggets have. I mean, everybody does. That's the way the league is. I think sometimes as fans we forget that the 82 games will catch you. But generally speaking, you don't get embarrassed at home by the real bad teams. And the Kings have done that, you know, with the, you know, the Pistons and the Hornets and the Wizards. And they've just lost to some teams.
So many of them.
Yeah, especially at home.
Yeah, I feel that too. I mean, we're looking at their schedule right now. Like, the Kings are 23-15 at home and, you know, 22-18 on the road. And then you look at the Lakers right below them. The Lakers are 28-13 at home. And that's more around what you were hoping this team would be this
season.
You've
kind of got a right to expect that. I mean, I think the road record is terrific. I mean, it's
fine.
All you could ask for.
Yeah.
But, the home record just isn't as good as it should be. And it really wasn't last year either.
No, I know. They went 25 games on the road.
Yeah, they were better on the road. So I don't know what it is. It's like one of those things. I don't know what they're doing, but they probably ought to find something different. Because the last couple of years just hadn't worked very well.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, it's something that it's kind of been like the last 5 years. I mean, we could even say it's been the last, like, 16 years where the Kings haven't, you know, 17 years where they haven't been a great home team. But I just kept remembering, like, one coach after another saying, I can't believe we're this bad at home. Mm-hmm. Like, and you look at the crowd is incredible. And I know Alvin Gentry was just, like, imploring his guys, like, how could we be this? How could you embarrass yourself in front of your family? And how could you come out and just not be ready against with your home crowd, which is, you know, a sellout every night? Like, Kings fans have been absolutely spectacular, like, carrying this team through.
Well, and they're involved, too. I mean, as compared to most arenas, you know, the fans are more involved, I think, here. And, of course, I think there's another side to that. You know, we've talked about some in the past, but I think so many of the top players in the league love to go on the road and silence the crowd.
Mm.
And I really think the great crowd in Sacramento at some point kind of works against you a little more because so many crowds aren't really into it, aren't really loud. And you know, it's always been the case where the great players always said, we want to go in there and win the road game and quiet the crowd and tell them, you know, that sort of thing. And I think that really is maybe a little factor sometimes.
I also wondered, Jerry, do you think, it's just random, but do you think that the lighting of the beam actually plays into that exact thing as well, where teams are like, no.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think there's any doubt, probably. It's such a motivating factor for the Kings, but it's every bit a motivating factor for the opposition. You know, that's one more reason, you're not going to light the beam on us,
yeah,
type thing.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. Did you watch the Brooklyn game on
yeah.
Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
You could hear it through the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
The Light the Beam chants.
Light the
in
Beam,
Brooklyn.
And that's got to be kind of a national thing, you know. That's a marvelous marketing idea. You know, you just couldn't come up with anything better. I mean, I think it's just tremendous. Probably teams around the league are trying to come up with
something
individual, you know, that works for them.
Yeah, that was the great Mo Brazelton. They came up with the lighting.
Was that right?
Yes, the beam idea was Mo.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Good for Mo.
Yeah, good for Mo, right?
Yeah.
Does a great job with the in-game experience. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to have Jerry Reynolds for the entire 11 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about disappointments. We're going to talk about positives. We're going to talk about the Sacramento Kings and their chances of making it to the playoffs for a second straight year in the 2023-24 season. So you're listening to the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. We'll see you in just a minute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man.
Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.